The question for today is, what news has brought you joy? So turn to your neighbor and ask them, what news has brought you joy? I'll give you a minute to think about that and tell your neighbor.
I'm hearing some good joyful news that you guys have received. So I think that's wonderful. I think at some point in time in our lives, we've all had an occasion to have joy and be joy filled about some news. And so our scripture this morning, and as the Advent candle of joy is what we're thinking about, I want you to just kind of focus on that joy word as it comes up through our scripture and our lesson for this morning. Our scripture, if you would like to follow along, is from Luke chapter 1. It's verse 57 through 80. It's Luke chapter 1, verse 57 through 80. And I'm going to read from the NIV. And you're welcome to follow along if you would like. All right. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her
joy.
Thank you. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah, but his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." And they said to her, "There's no one among your relatives that has that name." So then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. And he asked for a writing tablet. And to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was set free. And he began to speak, praising God. And all the neighbors were filled with awe. And throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and how you have given it to us all down through the generations, that we might know you in a deeper and fuller way. And Father, we give ourselves to you this morning with open hearts and ears to hear what it is you would have to say to us. And Father, we ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation from my heart, would be acceptable in thy sight, O God. And we give you praise for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so we have this this portion of scripture, and Luke is writing it. And we've already learned that Luke was a Gentile. He was not a Jew. Luke was a doctor, and he was writing, he wanted to write an orderly account of the things that had been fulfilled among them, both the Jews and the Gentiles, so that Theophilus, a God-fearing Gentile, could know with certainty the things that he had been taught were true. So this is about 40 years after Jesus. death, and resurrection. And Theophilus had become a believer, probably under the ministry of Paul or someone like Paul, who said that Jesus was the Messiah and that God-fearing Gentiles could be fully included with the people of God. Before this time, God-fearing Gentiles could come to the synagogue to worship and to learn, but they wouldn't be allowed to stay for lunch. Jews and Gentiles were not able to mix. But Paul taught that Gentiles could be fully included in the church and that Jews and Gentiles could eat together. But now, Theophilus is having doubts because some of the synagogue officials are saying that Jesus really was not the Messiah, and that Theophilus and the other God-fearing Gentiles could not fully belong to the people of God unless they converted to Judaism. So there was some doubt in Theophilus's mind. And so I'm thinking to myself, you know, Jesus is the Messiah. And how often are there voices that come along and say, is Jesus really the Messiah? Is he really the Son of God? Is he really able to heal the sick? Is he really who the Bible says he is? So even today, we can have voices that kind of come and want us to think, is the Bible really true? Or is it just a fable? Is it just a story? Is it just a fairy tale? So Theophilus was in this position having some of these doubts, and Luke really wanted to give Theophilus a reminder of who God is and that God sent Jesus as the Messiah, that was really, really true. So here is Luke, and he's thinking, okay, what's the best way to help Theophilus know and remind him that Jesus is truly the Messiah? And so he tells the stories, as we've already heard from Pastor D and from Pastor Steve, about the birth of Jesus. That story is being told, and then the birth of John the Baptist, which is a little bit more of what we're talking about this morning. And so Elizabeth was the daughter of a priest, and she married a priest named Zechariah. And this was during the time of Herod, and it says that both Zechariah and Elizabeth were upright in the sight of God. They observed all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Remind you a little bit of Abraham and Sarah, who God had promised a child, and yet they were not able to have children for so many years. And we don't know whether or not God had promised them a child, but we know that they prayed for a child, Elizabeth and Zechariah. And it came time for Zechariah to perform his priestly duties at the temple in Jerusalem. So in the Bible, it says that Elizabeth and Zechariah lived in the hill country of Judea, and that was about 5 miles from the temple in Jerusalem. And so every year the priests had priestly duties, and they would go to the temple in Jerusalem. And so back then it would have meant that he would have probably walked to Jerusalem about 5 miles. And the Bible doesn't really tell us whether or not Elizabeth traveled with her husband to the temple. But when Zechariah arrived at the temple, he was chosen by lot to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So what I read in some of the commentaries was that there were about 18,000 priests, and there were so many priests that this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be chosen by lot to go burn incense in the temple. It was an honor. It was something that you went in, and there was an altar of incense, and the priests would go in and they would burn the incense on the altar and offer prayers up for the people of God. And it was next to the Holy of Holies, in that curtain that separated out where the inner sanctuary, the inner sanctum of the temple was. And so the burning of the incense and the fragrance would permeate and reach God. is what that was meant to do. And so Zechariah had this special privilege. It was his turn, and he, again, was well along in years, so for this to come up to be his turn was really great. And so he was there. He went in. He went into the temple. He went into this area where the priest was allowed to offer incense. And outside in the outer courtyard, there were people that were also praying and offering up their prayers to God while Zechariah went in to offer up his prayers to God and burn incense. So here he was. He was there, and here was an altar. And all of a sudden, he was surprised because an angel appeared at the right side of the altar, and he had a conversation with Zechariah, and he told Zechariah that his prayer had been heard and that his wife Elizabeth was going to have a baby, a son, and they were going to name him John. Does that sound familiar to any other story that you've heard? They were going to name him John. Who else did an angel appear to and say, You're going to have a baby? Yes, that God came and showed himself to Mary and said that she was going to have a son, and he was going to be named
Jesus,
right? So this is similar. So the angel told Zechariah, your wife is going to have a son, and you're to name him John. And he said that this son would be a joy. Yes, this son would be a joy. There's our joy word. And a delight to Zechariah. And many would rejoice because of his birth, for he would be great in the sight of the Lord. So the angel gave Zechariah very specific instructions on how they were to raise John. He was never to take wine or fermented drink. And the angel said that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth, and that many of the people of Israel would be brought back to the Lord, their God, and that John would go on before the Lord, referring to Jesus in the spirit and power of Elijah. Elijah was a prophet from way back that had prophesied about the coming Messiah and about Jesus coming to save people from their sins. So John would go in the spirit and the power of Elijah, another prophet that God was sending to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So John was supposed to be going before Jesus and helping prepare the hearts and minds of people to accept Jesus as their Messiah. Well, when Zechariah heard this, he asked, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." And the angel answered and said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." So just a little side note here. Has there ever been a time when you were saying something and God said, "You know what? You just need to be quiet. You just need to be quiet." Okay? So this is what happened to Zechariah. He was talking and he was expressing himself to God, and the words that he was saying were full of doubt. He didn't want to, you know, he was not acknowledging. If you remember, Mary said, when she heard what the angel told her, she said, "May it be to me as you have said." And she expressed her faith in God, and God just wanted Zechariah to have this minute to say, "You know what? It's time for you to be quiet and listen. I have something I want to tell you. I have something I want to share with you. I have something for you to do. I want you to raise John, the forerunner of Jesus, and it's a very special job. And even though you and Elizabeth are far up in years, well along in years, and this is going to be like a miraculous thing. It's an unheard of sort of a thing, that except for you hear stories of Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament and some others. So that was a significant moment. And then we come along to verse 21 in Luke that says, the people were waiting outside the temple for Zechariah and wondered why he was staying in there so long. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. So he came out. And can you imagine if you... if you had gone someplace and you lost your voice and you just, you came back out of the place that you were, and all of a sudden you could not express yourself anymore. And so you would have to try to find ways to communicate. And that's what happened to Zechariah. And then when Zechariah's priestly duties were completed, he traveled back home the 5 miles to his home in the hill country of Judea and to his wife, Elizabeth. Can you imagine Elizabeth? He probably had to find another way to communicate what all was going on. But it says that after he got home, Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. So I think that this news to both of them must have been so overwhelming that they were thinking, wow, if we tell our neighbors and friends and relatives about this right now, they're probably going to think we're crazy. But I'm sure they had time to meditate and think, and God was able to give them some time to process what it was that God wanted them to do and through this baby that they were going to raise. And So Elizabeth says, the Lord has done this for me. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Because in those days, if a woman was barren and could not have children, often people would think that somehow she had sinned and done something wrong. And that's how come she was not able to have children. But Elizabeth must have been so happy to now have her disgrace removed among the people, her family, her friends, her neighbors. So she was in seclusion for 5 months. And then in her 6th month, Mary came to visit. And when Mary showed up, they just had a super joyous time of praising God for their baby boys who were to be born. And Luke 1:41 says that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, Elizabeth exclaimed, "Blessed are you, Mary, among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." So Elizabeth is humble, and she's asking why she is so favored that the mother of her Lord should come to her. And perhaps she is contrasting her husband's disbelief when the angel talked to him and Mary's belief that what the Lord told them through the angel was really going to come to pass. And so Mary just breaks into song when she visits Elizabeth, and she is filled with great joy and wonder. And just as she broke into song, Zechariah was unable to speak for 9 months and was only able to sing and praise after their son was born. And he wrote, his name is John, in accordance with what the angel had said. So truly, God is really up to something special through the birth of these two babies, John, the forerunner of Jesus, and Jesus, the promised Messiah. And God is bringing to fruition the prophecies of long ago that he would send a Savior into the world to save the people from their sins. And So I'm thinking about this time with Elizabeth and Mary. And so Mary found out that she was expecting a baby, and Elizabeth already had been in seclusion for 5 months and expecting. And so the Bible says that Mary stayed from Elizabeth 6 months until her 9 month, almost time for John to be born. And I can only imagine these two women, one Mary as a teenager girl, right? A teenage girl expecting a baby before she's been married, and Elizabeth, who's expecting a baby and well into her old age, and how they must have had time to just really share with one another and to just think about what God was going to do in the lives of these baby boys that were to be born. And Elizabeth totally acknowledging that the mother of my Lord is here to visit, and how John is going to go before, and how God has truly given them the fulfillment of the promise that he was going to send a Messiah, someone to save the people from their sins. Because I'm thinking to myself, who else could they talk to so freely like that? Sometimes woman-to-woman time is great, right? Yeah? Yes, I would agree. So we come to our passage for today in verse 57 and 58 that state when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son, and her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. There's nothing like the birth of a baby, is there? I know we've experienced that this past year in our house at the birth of the twins, and how much joy and the friends and neighbors that have stopped by, Rachel and Chuck James, and wished them well and prayed for them and supported them. And I can only imagine that Elizabeth's relatives and neighbors and friends would have had cause for such great joy. What is it? Joy, yes, joy, yes, such great joy that God had given them this son. And so, anyways, verse 59 says that when they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah, his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." And so somehow in the midst of Zechariah not being able to speak, he must have written something down. He must have communicated with Elizabeth what the angel had told him, that the baby was supposed to be called John. And they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives that has that name." Because in those days, and even sometimes today, it was very common for a baby boy to be named after their father. And they were thinking, this doesn't make any sense. You've waited so long to have a baby, and now you have the opportunity to name this child Zechariah Jr., and you want to call him John? And so they were a little confused. And so they made signs to Zechariah to find out what name Zechariah wanted to name the child. And so he asked for a writing tablet. And to everyone's astonishment, it says he wrote, "His name is John." And it says immediately his tongue was loosened and he began to speak and began to praise God. And the neighbors were just filled with awe. They're like, "Wow, what is going on here?" You know, first Zechariah had a vision, he couldn't speak, and now he said the child's name is John, and now he's able to speak. What is going on? This must have been such an amazing time for these people, and they're wondering what God has in store. And so it says that all throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about these things. It must have been the news was spreading. It's kind of like when baby Jesus was born and the news began to spread among the shepherds and different people that began to see, wow, this is a miraculous thing. What is God about to do? And so then it says, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. So you have Elizabeth, who was filled with the Holy Spirit when Mary came to visit you. It says, the Bible says that when baby John was born, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now you're saying that Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied, and his words were, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as was said through his prophets long ago." salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. What a wonderful fulfillment he was seeing of the promise of God, of those prophecies from so long ago, from Elijah who had prophesied and others about Jesus. And now his son John was going to go on as the forerunner to prepare people for this path of peace that God wanted to share. And it says the child grew, and he became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. And that's a whole nother story. So I just wanted us to take a minute and just reflect on what Luke was trying to tell Theophilus. He was trying to give him reminders of proof of these two miraculous birth stories that God had not forgotten his people, God had not forgotten his promises, and that God was sending Jesus as the Messiah for all, so that both Jews and Gentiles could worship God together, and that they could know without a doubt that Jesus was their Messiah. He came to save his people from their sins, that he came to redeem us, to restore us, to give light and shine in the midst of the darkness of our world, and that he is our hope and our joy and our peace. And so I'm thinking today that if we ourselves ever have doubts that Jesus is our Messiah, that we need to just reflect and remember the words of that Luke was writing to Theophilus to convince him and remind him again these two miraculous stories of how God came to bring salvation. And so we're going to do something a little bit different. Mary had a song to sing as she went to visit Elizabeth. Zachariah had to wait 9 months, 9 months of meditation, 9 months of thinking and processing what God had told him. And sometimes we need time to be quiet and listen. Sometimes we get to speaking so much we can't even hear what God is trying to say. And I would encourage us this morning that we would quiet our hearts in those moments of meditation this week, and that we would just say, God, what is it that you are trying to say to me? What is it that you are wanting to do in my life? And what is it that you want to proclaim? And so Zechariah was filled with song, and I believe that we have a song to sing this morning, right? That God has brought his son into this world, and then John as the forerunner. And so you'll find somewhere along your row, you'll find some hymnals next to you. And I would like us to turn to, we're just going to like sing through some of the songs of joy and hope that that God has done for us even today, all these years past, but the time that Jesus was born and died and resurrected. So let's start with hymn 180. Angels we have heard on high. The angels came to Mary, they came to Zechariah, and gave them such good news. Let's sing about that this morning. 180, Angels We Have Heard on High. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Sing, come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Enter back to 175. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. 175. Hark the herald angels sang.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Long desired, behold him come, finding here his humble home. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and light to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Let us then with angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Amen. And 163, angels from the realms of glory. There's a lot of angels in these songs, aren't there? Jesus, God used angels to proclaim his good news. All right, 163.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sing creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the field abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with men is now residing. Yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship. Worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your contemplations. Brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations. Ye have seen his natal star. Come and worship, come and worship. Worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, come and worship. Worship Christ the newborn King.
All right. And 171, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel is Jesus, Savior of the Israel. 171.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations bind, all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
And then across the page, 172, the reason for this Sunday, we're celebrating the pink candle, which is
joy.
Joy, yes. And we want to sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. And let's stand. We can't sing this one sitting down, right? All right, okay.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders and wonders of his love.
Amen. And I just wanted to say that how blessed we are. We're on the other side. Theophilus lived, that story was written for Theophilus about 40 years after Jesus was born and died and was resurrected. We have all these generations to be able to see all the things that Jesus has done.
Yeah. Yes.
Not only back then, but in our lives today. And so I just want to say that this morning you might be going through difficult times. It doesn't mean that we can't have joy. Happiness does not equate joy. Joy is something that Jesus gives us deep down in our hearts, from the knowledge that he is with us. He is Emmanuel. He is our comforter. He is our strength. He is our song. He is our joy. And so I hope that this morning, as we pass through some of these passages that Luke was trying to remind Theophilus about, that we're also reminded that that the truth, and that no one can take it from us, no matter who may try to get us to doubt, that Jesus is the Messiah, and that he is the one who brings light and life into the darkness of our world. And I have a few of these little joy ornaments this morning, and if anybody can come up to me afterwards and just tell me part of the scripture that we learned today about the story of John being born and Elizabeth and Zachariah, if you can tell me one thing from this morning's message that you found in the scripture, you might even have to open your Bible and read it, but if you can tell me one thing, then I have a little joy reminder for you to take home with you today. Okay, all right, so let's go ahead and pray, and then we are going to have communion, a special celebration. Isn't it wonderful that God did not spare his one and only son, but that he gave him to be sacrificed for us, that we might be saved. And when you think about how powerful that is, that's powerful. And I'm so thankful that God saw fit to redeem us and to restore us. And so in communion, we're celebrating the Jesus' death and resurrection, but his blood and body that was shed for us. We don't take that lightly, but we just praise God that he saw fit to save each and every one of us. And so in a minute, as we celebrate with communion, if you want to receive that grace, please come and participate in what God has done for us. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your son, Jesus. And then as John was the forerunner, as we learned this morning, and these special stories of how you provided a way for your people back then, but even us today. Lord, how you provide for us through Jesus, our living Savior. And Lord, we give ourselves to you this morning, and whatever it is that might be causing doubt within any one of us, Lord, we lift it to you, knowing that you are the light that brings light and life to each of us. Father, we thank you for that this morning. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory, and we thank you for the joy that we can have because Jesus is alive and well within our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And now Pastor Steve will go ahead with the communion, and Christina will lead us in a song this morning.